We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Hey now, Semper Fi, welcome into this Monday edition of Sports Talk here on WWL, AMFM.com, and the Audacy app. Scott Alexander at Master Control, taking your calls on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines at 504-260-1870, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, NFL and college football analyst Mike Dettillier. I'm Christian Garrett. Coming up this hour, Tano Passanio. Mike and I sat down with the long, and I mean lean, long, tall, massive.
That's what dude. An athlete looks like.
Yes.
Man, that's back-to-back days to me. I spent some time yesterday with Mason Smith. I showed both you guys the picture.
Yeah.
Man, that's what a 17-year-old big man athlete should look like. Passanio is the same way. Man, you talk about a long, lean athlete. And like I told you, Christian, man, he got a wingspan like a big condor.
And he has a six-pack, too. So you hear McCoy was saying, well, why you have your shirt rolled up? You want the media to see your six-pack?
McCoy?
Yeah, the center.
Yeah, he told that to Tano.
Yeah, he was like joking, but okay. He said, yeah, why you got your shirt rolled up?
You media know, and it's funny, he brought up about, we talked about the length, and that was the first thing he brought up that Ryan
it
wants to work with him on, and we'll have the interview a little bit later.
Yeah, coming up about 4:35. Again, it was pre-recorded earlier today from Saints training camp. So here we are, day four of camp, and we got to see the quarterbacks air it out a little bit today. Bobby, in particular, Jameis Winston looked really sharp. And again, it's 4 days in to the competition, but if they were going by what they've saw over the last 4 days, Jameis Winston wins his job.
Yeah, they're going to grade everything they do. Taysom does have big time throws. Now he might miss on he misses on more throws than Jameis Winston. So, obviously, they're going to be judged on everything they do at preseason games, practice. The first time we saw them on 7-on-7, they did 1-on-1 yesterday. And then a lot of all-team. It was all-team stuff. So, we had 7-on-7. And 7-on-7, we explained this to the fans and the audience before. It's basically you are running passing plays without the lineman. That's right, 7-on-7.
Sure,
so you kind of take out, you should have success as a quarterback in 7-on-7. There's no pass rush.
You see a lot more of that in pads, when they go to pads.
And then a lot of times defensive backs, they don't want to get beat on 7-on-7 because they know there's no pass rush. So you tend to check down or hit shorter routes. But that wasn't necessarily the case today. I thought Jameis Winston came out smoking. Boy, hopefully we see a lot of this. He had Kamara on a wheel route, and he beat Warner, the rookie linebacker. It wasn't that he had that much. He was right there.
It was a good ball.
It was a good ball. Now Alvin Kamara got a step on it, but it was a good ball placement. Little Jordan Humphreys, beat P. Rob, even though it was, looked like it was nice coverage. Good throws by Jameis Winston. I thought Taysom had a couple of misses on deep balls. One to Callaway that he got to get out there, and the other one was to when
Chris
Crawley
Hogan.
Broke it up, to Hogan. Yeah, and then just throw it out there because Hogan's going to win. And the one he underthrew, I think he overthrew Callaway. Mm-hmm. It was like
God, about a yard and a half.
But he was open by 6 yards.
Uh-huh. Had him beat wide open.
So he has the arm strength to get it there. He just have to be – more accurate. Boy, across the middle, Adam Trautman had a nice catch.
That was a beautiful catch.
Yeah,
that really looked like an incompletion. Mm-hmm. And, man, he laid out and made a really great catch with it.
That was about as good as it gets. Kawan Baker had dropped the pass that, you think like, well, that catch your attention. If it hits your hands, you got to catch because all the receivers are obviously being graded no matter what. Now, I thought all the quarterbacks – look like they belong and they've really stepped up. I don't know if I've ever witnessed a Saints training camp when they have as many four quarterbacks taking reps and they don't got to get back in the huddle. You know, they break the huddle, right. They spit the play out, and then they're running reps. And I tell you what, when you look at Ian Book, he looks like he has a pretty good grasp already of the offense. So what, he's on time, he's making throws. He had a nice throw to McCleskey on a bomb, and that was about as good as it gets, no matter who's the quarterback. They had one play that I'm looking. See, it's hard to tell, like, for instance, Malcolm Jenkins would have had a sack. And then, you know, Taysom steps up and he ends up hitting Callaway a nice pass. Mm-hmm. But then you think, I don't know, you got to get rid of it before that because he probably would have been sacked.
He would have got a sack.
Yeah,
He'd have got sacked on that play.
Now, the one good running play in the competition, you know, with Devontae Freeman coming in, it looks like he's ready to roll. But, you know, Dwayne Washington, he knows he has the upper hand. 6-year guy to Washington special teams. He had a nice run, nice vision that you just see the good cut, and that's what he's going to bring to the table.
Hold your thoughts, and we'll get back to your notebook.
So it was like continuous process. We constantly made big throws. And Sean was pleased with that we're able to hit those big throws, really for the first time in the four practices, where it wasn't just, well, I'm glad that, you know, play of the day. Well, you had a chance to have two or three plays of the day considering the explosiveness.
All right, you'll hear from Saints head coach Sean Payton, along with center Eric McCoy, Marshawn Lattimore, Tano Passanio, and Devontae Freeman, the newest Saint, who really gushed about the opportunity to come play here in New Orleans. All that is on its way. We're just getting started here on Sports Talk. Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick on Saints Radio, WWL.
Ty's played running back for us. He's played receiver for us. And we want to focus a little bit more, most of his reps, at the receiver position. So we were one light at the running back position. Now, when it comes to Devontae, he's someone we're familiar with, obviously, having played against him for a number of years. He gives you good versatility, both in the run and the pass. And look, I've been a big fan. We've seen him, you know, and so I think it's a good addition for us in the room. I really think there's some versatility he brings, and I'm excited about that.
Saints head coach Sean Payton talking about the newest addition, Devontae Freeman, at running back. We talked about it when the news came out about really this move of Ty Montgomery from running back to receiver kind of made this move possible. But, Bobby, Mike, I saw Devontae today run, and particularly during the run portion of practice. He took a handoff, saw the hole, and was gone. I mean, he still got burst. He still has the burst.
Now let's watch when he gets hit. Because you see, when you bring in players like Devontae, J.R. Sweezy, he's started over 100 games in the NFL. He was number two right guard today. This is a guy who has started with Seattle. He was a defensive tackle. Now think about this. He was a defensive tackle at North Carolina State. He was going to probably go undrafted. But Tom Cable, the offensive line coach with Seattle, works him out and says, you know what? I think you could play guard. And swings him around. He's a late-round pick. All of a sudden, man, he's a really good player with Seattle. Signs a huge contract with Tampa Bay. Hurts his back. He's bounced around the league. But this time of year, you're not getting a guy. It's either an age or an injury situation. Okay? It's same thing with Prince. Why he was available?
Prince Mukamara.
Prince is available because of age injuries. So, man, Devontae looked like he got some step in the pep, you know, so to speak. He got some pep.
And but what have you done for him lately?
Wait till he gets hit. That's what I want to see.
But he hasn't done anything. You know, Sean's remembering.
Well, he looked good last year with the Giants until he got injured.
Until he got hurt.
Hit. I mean, you know, I'm saying he didn't put up the numbers.
Right.
You know, when we remember him with the Falcons. And
he was a pain in the butt when he was with the Falcons.
When they had the combination of him and Coleman, they had a 1-2 punch with Matt Ryan. But yeah, he could catch lightning in a bottle again because when you hurt, you hurt. I mean, you might say, he can't play no more. No, he's injured. Now, if you're not injured, then you can excel at a high level. You know, Sean brings up Ty Montgomery. you know, because we're receiver, running back, receiver, you have more you could do. He ran a route today against Paulson and Debo, and it was like a simple, like, option on the route, and Ian Book put it right on him. That was going to the house. And I'm talking about that was an easy throw, like as far as an underneath throw. And it hit Ty McGurman's stride. That would have been a 30-yard gain for sure.
The other thing, too, guys, is, and I watched it before practice started, was watching Curtis Johnson, the Saints receivers coach, really getting on the young receivers. Now, Jalen McCleskey, I thought, had a really good day of practice.
He's made plays every day. It seems like we write his name.
And you can see his speed and everything else that he has to the game. He was on Jalen. He was on Ty Montgomery. He was on Kwon Baker about, hey, guys, you are shortening the route. Run the route the way it's supposed to be run.
The proper depth, yeah.
But all those guys were shortening the route. And he was like, listen, no matter if it's long or short, it's going to be an incomplete or an interception. You got to run the route properly. And, Bob, you could talk a little bit more about it, that no matter what, in practice is one thing, but in a game, if you're supposed to run a 15-yard route and you cut that thing off at 13.5, people will say, oh, look, the quarterback, how he missed on that throw. The receiver didn't run the route right.
Well, because you have to anticipate. You can't wait till he's open and throw it. You have to anticipate the angles at all, and the ball has to be out of your hands because the pass rush, the timing, you have to have that clock in your head, and you just got to release it. So you got to get your proper depth. You can't get jammed on the line. You got to get your depth. So the quarterback can count on you because if he's ready to throw it to you and your route's like not basically halfway finished, then they're going somewhere else. They're not going to trust you.
What did Sean Payton say about your shirt?
Oh, my shirt? Well,
Bobby's wearing a picture. Well, it's a T-shirt with the image of Sean Payton, a much younger Sean Payton.
Much younger.
On the front of the shirt. Was that going back to San Diego State?
San Diego State. He has his headphones on. Now, I found this in the closet. Like, oh, let me wear this. This is like a training camp type
shirt.
I'm
shocked it still fits.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Well, it's stretching. It's stretching a little bit. But it was like one of those things. I'm going to wear this for training camp. And, some of the media members say, well, where do you get that shirt? And,
yeah, a young lady from the Silver Slipper shows up one night with a couple shirts of a young Sean Payton.
And I said, I want that shirt. I'll wear
no,
that.
No, she was wearing it.
So what did he say?
She came back and brought us a couple of
them. So I asked him a question, then I brought up, and I go, Sean, we were talking amongst the media, what year was this? And I pointed at my shirt, and he started, like, chuckling. I says, was this, like, after the strike, was it when you went to San Diego State initially, 88, 89? He goes, no, I know it wasn't then. Because I have a headset on, and I was a graduate assistant. I was a GA. So it was like 1992.
It looks just like his son, Connor, now.
Yeah. So this is...
And it really is.
It's like 29 years in the making. Almost 30. Not quite 3 decades when he was at San Diego State. So,
can you explain, Bobby, because you were at... Mike and I were talking to Tano Passanio during the Sean Payton press conference. They did a drill today, our scenario situation, where basically... I think there was, 6 seconds left on the clock. The quarterback would drop back and just launch it as far as he could off the field of play. Can you explain that a little better as what they were working on there?
Yeah, well, what they're doing, you're just trying to win the game. And what it is, and you say, well, how can they be a win the game play? Because your quarterback's launching, and it's anywhere between 6 to 7 seconds. Because they don't stop the clock unless it hits the ground. Or let's say you're throwing it high and long until it would hit the bench or another player, then they could stop the clock. So really, you could throw it far and along the sidelines and burn 6 or 7 seconds. It's a case and scenario where they're coming and you don't want to risk maybe having a punt blocked. So because they hell bent for leather, go, man, we're going to win this game. That's one thing we cannot do. And the same thing about when they're throwing it backwards to a receiver and he runs around, or like a punter will catch the ball, run around, and then step out of bounds, or he'll throw it backwards to a receiver, catch the ball, run around, then go out the end zone, and you give up a two-point play. It's just to win the game. And he's going over all these scenarios because it could come about that, and I guarantee you, you got to retain stuff. He would get on players. We went over that on August the 2nd. You don't remember? Because you might not call this till December, November. You never know when it's going to. Might come up September. You don't know when it's going to come up. Okay, this is what we're doing. And you've worked on it before. Just paying attention to detail. That's all it
and
is.
And they're probably not going to spend a whole lot of time, much more time on that scenario. So
no, because they went over it.
Yeah.
They it's not like every practice. Okay, do y'all got this yet? right. No, come on, you're a pro. You should. Okay, you go over one time and you got it. Then when he talks about in the heat of the battle, okay, this is what we're doing. Then you're like, what? What? No, they know what to do. You just go execute it.
Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, we'll step away and come back. I'm Christian Garrick. Tano Passanio. Mike and I sat down with him after practice today. Saints pass rusher, defensive end brought over from the Kansas City Chiefs. That's next here on Sports Talk on WWL.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Tano Passanio, Saints defensive end, pass rusher, here on Sports Talk with Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick here. And Tano, how's the first few days of camp going so far?
They're going good, man. Learning a lot, new defense. And I'm just having fun.
The adjustment, because they're going to work you both ways, defensive end, defensive tackle. How does that feel? Because in some packages, they're going to probably have you inside as a pass rusher also. The adjustment with that also, because we're seeing that more and more in the NFL today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see that. You want to put your best pass rushers on the field. I'm not taking a shot at Shy and none of the guys inside, but you
want
to see.
That's the world.
Yeah, they're good. They're good at their job, I'm ready for both. I'm learning both. With the experience I have, I feel like I'm picking it up a lot faster.
Have you been able to experience the world at all with this pandemic?
A little bit, not really. I'm trying to stay safe for sure. I didn't get to really experience too much. I worked on Bourbon Street during the day, nothing crazy, but it was still crazy. But I haven't experienced too much.
You're into a new defensive line coach with Ryan Nielsen. Your relationship with Ryan, you were signed during that free agency period, but different technique works from, say, with Brandon that you had in Kansas City.
With him, he has a very it's similar but different philosophy. The day I stepped in, he said, forget everything you've learned. I did that. And I feel like I'm picking up his philosophy really quick because it just works. And I see that playing out on the field.
So far, who's the comic relief along the defensive line? Is it Cam?
It's Cam. All our guys are funny, man. Roach, he's a funny dude. We just got really, really good guys in our room, and you can tell that everybody actually wants everyone to succeed and do well, so we're all there for each other.
The technical part of the game, a lot of people, he's a big guy, he's fast, he should make plays, but once you get to this level, it is all about technique. Like, you'd love to have great size, great speed, but the cut point is the technical part of the game.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something you've worked on quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. I've worked on technique a lot, especially this offseason. It's something I feel like I lacked earlier on in my career. I was learning different positions, outside linebacker, stuff like that. But that's history, and definitely learn from all those experiences. But technique, it comes down to the marginal differences because we're all athletes here.
How valuable is it to go up against a guy like Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk, two of the better or best left tackles and right tackles in the league? How valuable is that?
Oh, yeah. Iron sharpens iron, so we're getting each other better every day. And just to be able to really work with those two now is awesome,
One of the things, and you being in Kansas City, you got to see a freak athlete at quarterback in Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people don't realize just how good of a player he is. You've seen it in not only in games but in practice. Mm-hmm. He can make plays other guys just dream of about making as a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. I definitely seen that. But, you know, now I get to tackle him, you know. I never got to actually hit him because he had that red jersey on, but I'm excited to actually be able to hit him, you know. He's a great guy.
In the short period of time that you've been in the league, what's the biggest change you've seen from a defensive lineman standpoint?
The biggest change for me?
For you, yes.
I guess I would say, like you said, it was a technique that really matters, where in college you can kind of get away with a lot more stuff just by being bigger, faster than somebody. Here, it's like people are getting paid a lot to do what they do. So there is no you're bigger, faster. It's, oh, I studied this guy. I know exactly how he moves, and it's really the preparation, I'd say. Preparation and technique.
Kano passing you here on Sports Talking. Kano, I'm just curious. So your dad is an economist, right?
Yeah.
And your mother is, what does she do professionally again?
She was a food scientist, chemist. She worked at a big pharmaceutical.
So he knows how to deal with money.
Yeah. I know how to deal with money. I studied finance and accounting, right. So it's something I definitely take with me to my personal life.
Kano, what do you feel like you do well, and what do you think you need to improve on?
I'm on the field?
Yeah.
On the field, I think I'm good at getting my assignment done and using my strength. But with that, I need to start using my length more. And that's something Ryan's really been harping on and teaching me a lot, which I really like. Just I have these tools, these levers, and it's something that I kind of don't use as much. I try doing other things that are kind of out of my body, but I'm really learning how to use my tools.
Kind of one of the things is, for a young player listening to this that didn't go to an LSU or an Oklahoma, Texas, you went to the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
And what that meant to you, that week of work. The game is one thing, but the week of practice is something else. Kind of your thoughts, if a young player is listening and says, man, they can watch my game tape. I don't need to go to a bowl game. For you, it was an immense jump up on the draft charts because of you going to the Senior Bowl in Mobile.
Oh, yeah. That helped me a lot. I mean, the one piece of advice for sure I give them is don't eat the Krispy Kreme donuts. They have them there. It's a trap. They just have a table there every morning coming down. I remember that specifically. Take all the candy you want. Save that for later. But, the Senior Bowl was so important for me just because, you know, coaches, scouts wanted to see how I matched up against bigger competition, I took it very seriously and took it in stride. You know, it's like I took it day by day.
What was the major factor in you signing with the Saints instead of maybe going back to Kansas City or somewhere else?
The biggest thing is that culture. I saw playing against the Saints and watching the film, I saw the whole defense in general, and then specifically the D-line celebrating with each other whenever anybody made a play, or I just saw them encouraging one another, and you saw that translate into stats and into plays made on the field for everybody. Everybody's getting good stats. And Ryan will take somebody undrafted and open somebody, you know. So I saw the process that was going on, or heard about the process. Saw the results from it, and it was a no-brainer.
You see a young man like Peyton come in here now, and he has a little bit similar background to you in that he can play outside, also inside. What you see in his progress as a young player?
I see a lot. I see a lot that I saw in myself for sure. He's there. He's ready to learn. You know, he always comes with a good attitude. He's never down. He's never blaming something on somebody else. He's always trying to learn something, and I like that a lot. He's not afraid to ask questions. You see him in the meeting room stopping our coach like, hey, what's this? What's that? So you know he wants to learn.
Tano, what do you do to unplug from football? You can't think about it all the time, you know, 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Yeah, I got into audiobooks. You know, I've been listening to talking about money, psychology of money. I've been listening to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know, just stuff that'll help you live life outside of this, because we're here for a lot of the day, but, you know, there's life after football. There's life after football practice.
Okay, so did you get into Bitcoin early?
No.
You didn't?
I was mad. You know, we learned about that in college, actually, and it was just, you know, I'm not that type of investor. I'm not that – I don't like to gamble. That's okay. It's pretty much gambling now, so, that's not me.
Tano, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Good luck this season, all right?
Appreciate you guys.
Thank Tano Passano. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
So we try to figure out what year is this? Is this 88 or 89?
It's gonna be San Diego State. That's either, I'm gonna say it's 92. When I was there in 88, 89, I was a GA. I don't think I had a headset.
Saints head coach Sean Payton from our very own Bobby Hebert, because Bobby's rocking the Sean Payton shirt, literally a picture of Sean Payton as a young assistant with San Diego State.
Yeah, a young 20-something-year-old assistant.
Bobby, what tickles your fancy on our Oakenhart Jewelers Talking text line?
Well, because this is a good question. If you were to ask me this before the Saints faced all that adversity, I would say, well, I'd be more confident in the Saints having more wins than LSU Tigers. But it is. This is from Chin Music. This is 0732. Cannon, Mike, and Christian, who has more wins by the season's end, the Saints or the LSU Tigers? Question mark. Chin Music. I think it maybe could be a push. I mean, it could be both teams win 9 games and nobody wins more. But I'd say right now with adversity with the Saints are facing and the unknowns, you could have unknowns both with LSU considering they were 500 last year. But looking at the Saints, that Chris, remember when I said when the schedule came out, Mike, I said, no, no matter Drew Brees is not there, they can win 10 games. Go 10-7
with that roster.
Yeah, with the roster and be a playoff team. But you just look at the suspensions. You look at the injuries. Just a lot of negative things to kick off the season. How important it's going to be to get off to a fast start. And then I kind of said, well, you got to win. Then even Las Vegas, Mike, they went from the over under 9.5 to 9. So I was like, I don't know. To me, it's kind of the same. Win total for the Saints, 9-8, 8-9. I think 8 wins is, that's what I'd say. 8 wins is unacceptable for LSU, considering where they, you know, perception and where they're at. And 7 wins is unacceptable for the Houdat Nation. Even though you want to win, you want to always go in the playoffs and all that. So I would say the Saints at 7-10, there'd be a lot of bitching. I think the LSU with 8 wins, there'd be a lot of bitching.
Mm-hmm.
See, 9 wins on the border, but to me, if both the Saints and LSU can get the 10 wins, you're supporting a winner. Are you right there in the thick of things? Wouldn't you agree with that, Mike? I mean, come on.
Okay, Chin Music, I'm going to give you an answer. Bobby danced around.
I was dancing.
All over the place. Okay, how you worded it at the end of the season, so this could also include a bowl game. I think LSU is a double-digit winning football team. Now, again, we don't know about injuries, what could happen that could change that. But, man, defensively, up front, with that defensive line, secondary, really good. You got 2 guys that have started at quarterback with Miles and also Max Johnson. 4 of your 5 starting offensive linemen. Now, again, they didn't play great last year, but you got 4 of those 5 back. You got a star at wide receiver in Kayshon Boutte. Your special teams is well coached. Greg McMahon has really done a good job, but you do have a young punter. And you win that first game against UCLA, you can roll this for a while.
Right.
Now, would you have enough confidence built up that you can roll this all the way to Alabama and not have an L? Because late in the year, you see what's happening, that you got to play Alabama, Texas A&M.
So how do you think Florida, the revenge factor there?
Revenge of what? Man, most of them guys is in the NFL.
Yeah. Okay. So
now,
that's
it might be a revenge for Mullen.
Yeah.
But most of those other guys, they're in the National Football League. So all I know is Pitts is in the NFL. Tony's in the NFL. Trask is in the NFL.
The cat that threw
So Mike, but you're saying nine wins.
Ten wins.
But maybe let's say 10 wins with a bull win. I would say that there would be no hot seat for Coach O at all. If he won 10 games,
if he was 10 and 2 in the regular season.
Yeah, come on.
Man, don't worry about it. But if you're asking the question, I'm going to go with LSU.
Yeah. Who are you going with, Christian, right quick? Come on.
LSU.
Okay.
Simply put, for all the reasons you guys just stated.
For all the reasons he didn't want to answer it.
I didn't want to because you know, that's why they play the games. I think it's going to be imperative, though, no matter who's suspended, who's playing, the Saints get off to a fast start or at least be 500.
What I mean by
500, I don't know, 2-2 kind of start.
Hear from the newest edition of the New Orleans Saints running back group, Devontae Freeman, next hour. This is Sports Talk. Also, the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, his observations from training camp. This is Saints Radio, WWL.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.